Will you please stand for the reading of the Gospel from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes for you to use as we go through this message together, and I'd invite you to follow along and fill in the blanks as you would find that helpful for you to do this morning. Some years ago, a new fitness center opened up in an old warehouse in Lemoyne, and I was serving in Camp Hill at the time, and it just seemed like the perfect location for me to stop on the way home and to get some exercise. Now, I've always looked at the gym as kind of a safe space for me. I kind of get in my own little zone when I'm working out, and I pray and sometimes put the earbuds in and listen to music and just like that quiet time. Well, when I walked into the gym, I saw that nobody knew me. Nobody knew I was a pastor. I was just a guy in shorts and a t-shirt, and I thought that was great. I could get in my little zone. Well, my first day there, I was just starting my cardio on the elliptical machine, and this woman walked up and got on the machine next to me, and she started to talk. And she pointed out her husband over there, who was a big buff bodybuilder, and he was pumping iron. And then she started telling me about their kids, in like every detail. And she told me about her work, and I just kept working out and smiling and listening, so much for my quiet space. And then she asked me the dreaded question, "So what do you do for a living?" Well, I almost said I'm a life assurance agent, but I didn't say that. I admitted that, yes, I'm a pastor. Well, she got a bright smile. "A pastor," she said. And soon she was talking to me about Jesus and how Jesus had saved their marriage and the difference that Jesus had made in their life. And it was a beautiful testimony. And then soon I found myself talking to her about Jesus. And when I had gotten on that machine, I was a total stranger. But now there was Mary and her husband, Bill. 30 minutes later, I discovered some new friends in Christ. Well, the next day, I walked into the gym again, and Mary spotted me all the way across the room. And she said, "Pastor Denny!" And then everyone turned and looked at me. I might as well have had a collar on. The news was out. But you know, it was okay. I mean, nobody treated me like I had some dreaded disease. And I really believe, even today, and that gym sadly is no longer open, but I believe that God led me into that old warehouse, turned into a gym, not just to work out, but to have some fellowship with some believers from throughout our community. Most of them had been strangers to me before. You know, over the past several weeks, we've been focusing on the big reveal of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. And we've seen that the more we get to know about Jesus, the more we get to know about ourselves as disciples of Jesus. We look at Jesus and we see who we are called to be in Christ. Now, there's kind of a paradox about this, because on the one hand, as it says in number one in your notes, disciples of Jesus are no different from anyone else. Jesus, we believe, was fully human. He looked just like any other kid when he was growing up in Nazareth. His appearance outwardly was no different from any other rabbi in Palestine at the time. And the same is true for us as his disciples. You can't tell a disciple by the way they dress or the style of their hair. A lot of people wear crosses as jewelry. Some even get cross tattoos, but simply wearing a cross doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus. So on the one hand, disciples are no different from anyone else. And whenever we share the gospel with people, we do it from a place of common ground. We do it from a place of shared brokenness, of shared humanity. And we recognize that we are all sinners in need of God's grace. And so a disciple who looks like everybody else is really one beggar who is showing another beggar where to find bread. Disciples of Jesus, on the one hand, are no different from anyone else. But on the other hand, disciples of Jesus are radically different from anyone else. Our values are distinctly different from the world's values because God's values are distinctly different from the world's. You are radically different when the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in you. The differentness of God is reflected in your differentness. And in our scripture this morning, Jesus holds up two things that everyone is familiar with to show us how disciples of Jesus are. First, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." He does not say you should be salt, or one day if you keep working at it, you will be salt. He says you are the salt of the earth. It's a statement of fact. And as we think about this, we realize that there are just so many things that we use salt for, and each of them suggests something about us as disciples of Jesus. Let's take a look at the list, and you might be able to add to this. But first of all, we recognize that salt is a precious commodity. In Jesus' day, salt was extremely valuable. It was said back then that all roads lead to Rome. And some have suggested that those roads were constructed from the salt mines into the city because salt was always in such high demand. Sometimes Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt. The English word salary comes from the Latin for salt, which is sol. And we know about that phrase, they're not worth their salt. That originated with the Romans, meaning that they're not worth what they're being paid. The world so badly needs salt of the earth people, Jesus says. The world needs merciful people. It needs people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It needs peacemakers. Disciples of Jesus are a precious commodity in this world, he says. Where would this world be without the influence of those who live by the values of the Lord Jesus Christ? Salt also creates thirst. Whenever Betsy and I go to the movies, I don't get popcorn. Because when I get popcorn, I need a drink. And when I get a drink, halfway through the movie, well, you know the rest of the story. Salt creates thirst. And Jesus says, disciples of Jesus, in the way they live, create thirst for God. People see how you are in this world. They see how you love. They see how you give. They see the peace in your soul. And they want what you have. Salt also adds flavor. Salt is widely used to enhance the flavor of food. And without it, we know that food can taste very bland. Once I picked up a bag of salt-free pretzels by mistake at the grocery store. And I tried them, and I wonder, who eats those things? Salt-free pretzels are just not the same. And that's what Jesus says about you and me. The world would be bland without disciples of Jesus. For when we love, and when we rejoice, and when we make peace, we are a dynamic presence in this world. And this time of year, we are also aware that salt melts ice. We all know the difference salt makes on the sidewalk, the parking lot, the roads this time of year. And I remember what the prophet Jeremiah said about how in the days to come, God would remove hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh. The way you love, the way you serve as disciples of Jesus softens hard hearts and makes people more receptive to the love of God. We know that salt also heals. After I've had some dental work done, my dentist will tell me to rinse my mouth out with salt water for the next few days. The salt water at the ocean miraculously heals those bug bites and scrapes. And that's how it is with salt of the earth people. They're merciful. They're peacemakers. They show compassion. They build bridges. They bring healing in this world. And salt also is a quiet influence. You mix a little pinch of salt into your food and you can't see it, but you know the difference it makes because it's there. And I wonder how many people would never venture into church but were introduced to Jesus by Bill and Mary at the gym. Not just by the conversation they had, but by the example of their lives. A quiet influence that helps others to see Jesus. You know, it's important for us not just to hang out with other followers of Jesus. We need to spread out in our day-to-day lives so that we can influence the world around us as the salt of the earth. And then finally, Salt preserves. And I saved this one for last because in Jesus' day, this was the most important use of salt. Jesus lived in the PR time period, pre-refrigeration. The Middle East was a hot climate, and fish and meat wouldn't last long without something to preserve them. And so salt was very, very important so that the meat wouldn't spoil. And so it is that we preserve God's grace, God's goodness, God's beauty by the way we live in this world. Now you can probably think of more things that salt is good for. And as you do, think about what does that mean for you as a follower of Jesus? You know, the world needs salt. Because the world we live in is corrupt. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And then he says, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. In other words, salt that isn't salty is useless. And we know that all of us, living in a world such as we do, open to many influences that are not of God, can lose our saltiness. So, how do you keep your saltiness as a disciple of Jesus? Well, one of the most important ways we keep our saltiness is by immersing ourselves in the Word of God. We are a people of the book. You know, there's been a lot of conversation politically over this past week, and in particular about the proposed ban on immigration for the next couple of months. And I wonder, as followers of Jesus, how might our thinking be influenced on that issue if we take seriously the words of the Lord Jesus in Scripture, who says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Jesus, who says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And as you do it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, so you have done it unto me. One way we keep our saltiness in this world, whose ways are not God's ways, is to be formed by the Word of God in Scripture. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You make a difference in this world. And then Jesus also says, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light in all the house. Now, did you notice the two different kinds of light that Jesus uses to describe us? First of all, he describes us as being like a beacon, like a bright city up on a hill that everyone can see. In the same way, the light of the church goes forth in this world like a beacon. It reveals to everyone that God is love. Think about that. At First Church, you are a beacon. A beacon in this community, a beacon in this world. Through your giving and your involvement in this community, you bring the light of food and shelter and healing and hope into the lives of people near and far away, many of whom you will never, ever see. In a few weeks, we're having a missions fair over in the multi-purpose room. And I'm really excited to see the countless ways that the beacon shines out of this church into the world. You are a beacon, Jesus says. And then he says, you are also a lamp. Now, the light of a lamp certainly doesn't shine as far and wide as the light of a beacon does. But it can illuminate places that the light of a beacon would never reach. A lamplight illumines your home and your classroom and your office. And those places you go from day to day where you are the light of Christ influencing those around you. The light of a lamp is the light that the children sing about when they sing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And so, on a grand scale, like a beacon, and in day-to-day life, like the lamp in your living room, Jesus says, you are the light. And the world needs light because it's dark. When Jesus says, you are the light of the world, he's talking about the light of Christ that is in you. Now let's think about that for just a minute. We might think of Jesus as being like the sun. You know, the sun is light in itself. And we sing that Jesus, like the sun, shines brighter than any other light, brighter even than all the angels that heaven can boast. And so if Jesus is the sun, we might think of ourselves as being more like the moon. You know, the moon gives light by reflecting the sun, receiving the sun's light and reflecting it out to illuminate the darkness. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So, how do you keep your light burning brightly as a disciple of Jesus in this world? Well, to do that, we have to be exposed to Jesus. We have to spend some time every day opening ourselves to the brightness of his presence. And it's important for us on Sundays to come together with other believers so that here together we might be in his glorious presence and receive the light that is unlike any other light. You are salt. You are light. Two powerful images that describe who we are. And remind us that disciples of Jesus who, on the one hand, are like everyone else, on the other hand, are radically different. The church exists to influence the world for the glory of God. Let's read verse 16 of this passage together. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Let me ask you, as you prepare to receive Holy Communion today, if the only witness people had was your life, what would they conclude about God. You and I, in our saltiness, in the way we reflect the light, we're revealing to those around us what God is like. My prayer is that we might walk close to the Lord so that as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, our influence might go out from here into places that we are yet even to imagine.